Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
At least seven people were killed, including a suspected gunman, during a birthday party over the weekend in Colorado Springs, Colorado, early Sunday morning. Officials said the suspect, who wasn't named, is believed to be the boyfriend of one of the victims. Weber County, Utah, GOP voted to censure Senator Mitt Romney, the Republican from Utah, Saturday during its convention. The senator's vote to impeach former President Trump earlier this year was the reason given by the voting body, saying the impeachment had denied the president due process, allowed falsified evidence, and did not provide adequate time for an investigation. The Dutch government announced Sunday it has granted oil producers Royal Dutch Shell and ExxonMobil around $2.4 billion in subsidies for what it says to become one of the largest carbon capture and storage projects in the world. The subsidies are meant to compensate the companies for the extra cost of capturing the greenhouse gases instead of emitting them. USA Radio News.
Schools are opening. So much opportunity to share not just memories of 2020, but germs. Worrying about your child bringing a cold or flu home is a thing of the past. Today, we have to be concerned about COVID. That's why you need to be sure your kids are protected in their school with the one-of-a-kind patented Safe Air Network equipment that continuously decontaminates not only air, but all surfaces. 99.9% decontamination in 3 minutes to begin with, and then continuously, so if any of the air or surfaces get recontaminated, no worries. Safe Air Network is not only the only system that cleans air and surfaces, it's chemical free and 100% safe to use in an occupied room. The equipment is plug and purify, the easiest equipment to use as soon as it is received. Contact Safe Air Network now at safeairnetwork.com. That's safeairnetwork.com.
The official winner of the Kentucky Derby last week may be stripped of the win. Jeremy Scott from the Oregon USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert said he found out Saturday that Medina Spirit tested positive for excessive amount of the steroid betamethasone after the Kentucky Derby.
We did not give it. My veterinarian, nobody here, Medina Spirit has never been treated with betamethasone.
Churchill Downs has suspended Baffert. He promised to be fully transparent.
I don't feel embarrassed. I feel like I was wronged. And we're gonna do our own investigation.
Churchill Downs officials said in a statement, if the findings are upheld, Medina Spirit's results in the Kentucky Derby will be invalidated and Mandaloon will be declared the winner.
The Air Force has reversed its decision to cut hundreds of reserve officer training cadets and restored around 130 scholarships after it received widespread backlash. Officials decided to reverse the decision after receiving backlash from students, parents, lobbying groups, and congressional lawmakers. USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
The country of Colombia has big problems. The people and government have been clashing for several weeks. Dan Araki with the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Protests have racked Colombia for the last 2 weeks after President Iván Duque proposed a tax hike meant to help the government deal with the financial strain from the COVID pandemic. Duque withdrew the proposal after unrest began, and the country's finance minister resigned, but the protests have continued. At least 30 people have been killed and more than 900 injured in clashes between protesters and the police over the last 10 days. Former American ambassador to Colombia, Kevin Whitaker, explained to CBS News why the violence has continued despite the withdrawal of the president's controversial tax plan.
Colombia experienced a 7% decline in GDP in 2020, and that has gravely affected government revenues, which are used for a variety of purposes, obviously. But in addition to that, you have the great dislocation caused by the pandemic. Colombia has been hurt disproportionately or worse than some of its neighbors in the region. And so you have an accumulation of anger and dissent that are related to both elements, which manifested themselves in these demonstrations.
Colombia recognizes 68 different languages for its 50.5 million citizens. A string of lights that floated across the night sky in parts of the United States last week had some people wondering if it was a fleet of UFOs. The train of lights was actually a series of relatively low-flying satellites launched by SpaceX as part of the Starlink internet service. USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
Independent. This is Bill Martinez.
6 minutes after the top of the hour. Welcome back. Bill Martinez here, and we've got George Barna, the professor of Arizona Christian University, the president of the Cultural Research Center at ACU. And, boy, no big surprise here, because we've been sensing this more and more, and it seems like we're on the other side of the mountain in terms of imploding on our values, George. We've got the latest report in from the American Worldview Inventory of 2021, and it does not look good for Americans' lives.
No, I mean, you know, we were trying to figure out, okay, well, if people don't have a biblical worldview, which we discovered last year, only 6% have that, what do they have? And, you know, there's some good news embedded in all of this, which is that, yeah, at least there are some distant memories of what the Bible teaches. People may not connect it with the Bible, but they do know some of those principles. Are they buying into them? Are they living according to them? No. But maybe what that says to us is, if the church were really playing the role of the church, maybe our culture would be different. Maybe it wouldn't be as far gone as it seems to be.
You know, it's almost, George, what I'm hearing from people is, to your point, is they'll pause for a moment and say, this isn't the way it should be. And they'll look to the church and see the church is not doing what, in their heart of hearts, you know, they may not be fully aware of what the Bible says about the church, but they know something is not according to Hoyle. There's something's off there. So it's just a pause, maybe a drive-by look-see and say, it's not relevant. It's really not there. I'll just go on with my life.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that, Bill, comes from the fact that what's happened is that we've all had a choice to make. What is it that we're going to focus on? And what we focused on is consuming culture rather than consuming truth or consuming God. And so the consequence now is, as our research is showing, yeah, only 6% have a biblical worldview. As we looked at, well, what do the other 94% have? I thought a particular worldview might emerge as the dominant one, and I was expecting either secular humanism or postmodernism. But what we discovered is that people aren't even buying into those. Mm-hmm. Instead, what we're doing is we're just cutting and pasting ideas from a whole lot of different points of view, which, when people blend them together, they don't make sense. They're inherently contradictory. They're in conflict with each other. And we don't give it a second thought because we're just busy consuming the next idea.
Well, exactly.
So, yeah, we've got to reshape our thinking about, but why are we on the planet? That's one of the worldview elements that Americans just aren't getting.
Well, the cancel culture is giving them cover as well, George, because they don't need to bring their ideas to the marketplace and debate them, because if they side with those on the left, well, then they've got full cover. You can, you know, we're back to the days of judges, but back to the days of judges on steroids, because you can see things according to your own eyes, and you are absolutely right. And if you're absolutely wrong, well, then, okay, you're a victim of the cancel culture, and you live another day, but you're going to live in somewhere else instead of the welcomed universe of the wokistas.
Well, and add to cancel culture the fact that Christian culture has not been very good at preparing us to develop the relationships and have the conversational exchanges where Christians can, in a loving and intelligent manner and in a contextualized manner, actually articulate what we believe, why we believe it, and how other people can get in on that goodness too.
Exactly.
What our research shows is that Christians are less likely to have those kinds of conversations. We talk about debate. Christians run from debate. We don't want to have that kind of conflictual exchange.
And that's really pathetic when you think at a time when you can really make a difference. But, George, you see, this goes back to some other reports that you said earlier, is that if you're not in the Word of God, if you're not talking to God, you're ill-prepared. And you're going to get your hat handed to you in any kind of debate, and you're going to go, okay, why am I doing this? Well, if you're going to represent God, you better have a relationship with God, and you better really be well-versed in what God says about these issues. Otherwise, it's not a fair fight. You are going to try to reason with people that are unreasonable, and you're going to find out real quick how painful that can be.
Well, exactly right. And I think it also relates back to one of the other things previous research identified, which is that Christians say they're dying for their pastors to teach them how to think biblically. Mm. They know all the nice stories. They get all the clever things that are being said. But that doesn't really help them in the real world. What they're saying is, look, if you could help me to grasp the totality of God's principles in such a way that it shapes my mind and heart so that when I have these kinds of exchanges with other people, I'm able to represent God well. I'm able to live that kind of life because when I have to make a decision, I get how these principles interact with each other, why God gave them to us so that I can live a thriving life. Right now, most Christians are saying, yeah, I'm not getting that, and it is, you know, kind of an empty spot in my life. I'd love to have my church help fill that.
Well, I would highly recommend, you and I talked about this, Del Tackett, Focus on the Family, years ago, had produced a series called The Truth Project. If you're not getting the truth in church and you're not being strengthened in such a way to deal with culture, that Truth Project, which has been out for, I don't know, I want to say 12, maybe 13 years now, is still very relevant and empowering. And this will go a long way in empowering you to where you're doing what God's called you to do. And that's to take the gospel message, you know, from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. But you've got to be prepared. And right now, people are looking after COVID and all the things that have been happening in the culture, not just here in America, but around the world. And they're looking for these different makers. And, you know, George, I got to tell you, I hear more about revival outside of America than I hear about revival happening within, you know, the domestic United States.
Yeah, and in fact, just before I got on the interview with you, I was reading a report about some of the things happening in Nigeria and other parts of the world where, yeah, there is true revival taking place. You know, why doesn't it take place there? Well, frankly, the fastest growing faith in America, or the faith group, are the don'ts. You know, the people who don't know, don't care, don't believe.
Right.
They're roughly one-third of our population now. And continuing to grow. So, yeah, I mean, we got a lot of work to do. We've got to rethink it, you know, just continuing to do what we do so that it becomes bigger and more efficient. That's not the task.
Do we need to re-embrace our story in some cases, George, our testimony? Because that's the thing I feel like maybe we've just taken it for granted. We're, you know, 10, 12, 20 years down the road, and it just was kind of a day, and we forget that, you know, that moment when we realized that we were blind and touched by God and we're able to see. Is that part of the case?
You know, it's a great point. I had a conversation about that with some friends recently. And one of the great things about knowing why you believe what you believe and remembering what you've experienced, what Jesus has done for you, And being able to communicate that in a simple way to other people is so powerful, because in a culture where there is no absolute moral truth, where we don't accept other people's truths, if that's your story, even in this culture, that's something that people feel they cannot reject.
Without a doubt.
It's that you've experienced it, and that's the end of the story.
Going to break. More from George Barna after this. Stay with us.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, author of two number one national best-selling books. My first, Gold is a Better Way, was published when gold was $1,200. My second, The Great Devaluation, published when gold was $1,500. Today, gold's $1,750. I'm marking that price with my most important information I've ever published, the leverage ratio of the Federal Reserve. This report on the Fed's balance sheet aims to prove why the Fed actually wants and needs a higher gold price. Subscribers pay thousands for my information. I want to give it to you for free. Just have an IRA or 401k. I'll release my special leverage report to you right now. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000 for your free leverage ratio report. I believe gold's headed much higher. Get my report and find out why. Call 800-900-8000 now.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
You love your dog. Is something bothering him or her and you can't figure out what it is? Maybe they seem slow or lethargic. And maybe they just don't have energy. Wouldn't you like your dog to be living their very best life? PetJoy offers a money-back guarantee on all of its products. If your dog won't eat it or you don't see the results you want, just let us know and we'll make it right. Totally risk-free. What do you have to lose? You can't buy PetJoy multivitamins in a store. The only way you can get them is through this unique radio offer. And if you call right now, learn how to get two bottles free with your order. Turn your dog's life around and make him or her a happy camper. Ain't that right, boy? He said call PetJoy right now. 800-890-8117. 800-890-8117. 800-890-8117. That's 800-890-8117. Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from the Timeshare Exit Hotline, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contracts. We're offering you a way to legally get rid of your timeshare. So if you're fed up with the maintenance fees that keep on coming and want to learn if you can terminate your timeshare legally and permanently, call today. Even if you've tried before and were unsuccessful in getting rid of your timeshare, call today and see if we can help. We offer a complete 100% unconditional client satisfaction guarantee. Make this completely free call and learn how we can help you legally put an end to your timeshare nightmare once and for all. You have nothing to lose, so call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation. 800-897-1434. 800-897-1434. That's 800-897-1434. Paid for by Airtime Media.
Welcome back. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, fresh and independent we are, and that is our goal, to remain that way, thank God, to pursue the truth no matter where it leads. George Barna, the professor at Arizona Christian University and the president of the Cultural Research Center at ACU, is with us, and we're talking about the latest survey from the Cultural Research Center. George, what else do we need to know about this, watered down, feel good, fake Christianity that we're in the midst of?
Well, the research showed us that the worldview that people are most likely to turn to on a consistent basis is this thing called moralistic therapeutic deism. That's a mouthful. But basically, it's, what I just not so lovingly referred to as fake Christianity. It's where people believe that God exists, but he remains distant from their lives. They can call on him if they get in a real crisis, and he may come through. But apart from that, he's not that interested. This is a worldview that says that the thing that is most important for us is to be good to each other. That's that moral component. But the problem is, MTD says that, well, there is no absolute moral truth. The Bible isn't always true or reliable or, relevant to the way that you're living. You're the one who has to determine what that's going to look like. Why would we be good? Because, number one, that's what God would like from us. But number two, God wants us to be happy. And so we're most likely to be happy if we're being good to others and they're being good to us. It's kind of a twist on the golden rule. And so it's a very strange perspective, but that's a more popular perspective, frankly, that people are willing to draw from than they are to draw from biblical Christianity, which is one of the reasons why I'm saying, these aren't bad people who are drawing from that. They've just gotten off the right path. They want to live a good, meaningful, significant life, but they don't realize that God gave them the formula, and we've ruined the formula.
The formula and the power, George, and the power to overcome those discrepancies in a fallen world that we're participating in. And if we do not plug into that power, then our Christianity becomes, rather inert and ineffective. And, what I'm hearing sometimes from some people is that they're saying, well, I'm kind of like looking for a sign from God. We've gone through 14, 15 months of COVID. Where is the sign from God in all this? And, and part of it, I sense that God's saying, look, you have enough signs. What other sign do you want? Do you just want a mass judgment on the world? Because this is already, it's a global pandemic that the entire world is affected by. And what kind of sign are you expecting? It's almost like when they, the Pharisees were asking Jesus for a sign, and you kind of have the sense that maybe he laughed a little bit and just going, you can't even see the signs. There are so many signs around you that you can't even bear witness to the signs because you can't bear witness to the truth.
The scriptures talk about us being blinded to reality. And when I look at our culture today, I think that's exactly what's happening. When we think about power and authority, who gets to make choices, what we've done is we've thrown God off his throne and we've taken it over. We believe that now we are the only ones who can make those kinds of choices. And so, as we do the research, for instance, if we look at these people who buy into moralistic deism as the driving worldview that they draw from, we know that, yes, 3 out of 4 of them consider themselves to be Christians, but 95% of those people do not consider success in life to be consistent obedience to God. More than 9 out of 10 don't believe that whatever wealth they've accumulated was actually given to them by God in order to manage for his purposes. 9 out of 10 of them do not believe that they're born into sin and they need to be saved by Jesus Christ. Almost 9 out of 10 of them don't believe that the ultimate purpose of life is to know, love, and serve God with all their heart, mind, strength, and soul. What do they believe it's about? It's about feeling good. It's about being comfortable. It's about belonging and being tolerant. All of these other things that have nothing to do with the plans and ways of God, but has everything to do with putting ourselves in charge and abusing truth.
Now, we're back, as you say, to putting ourselves on the throne when you see that 76% in the study contend that good people earn a place in heaven through their good behavior. I mean, you have to really twist the word of God to come to that conclusion.
Well, that would be true, but I think the key here is that they're not necessarily twisting the word of God to get get to that conclusion because they're not reading the Word of God. They don't know
right.
the Word of God. They're not concerned
right.
about the Word of God. They're concerned about their own Word. You know, how do I feel? How do I see it? What do I want? What would make me feel better? You know, feelings, 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 me, me, me. Those are the things mm-hmm. that are driving this group of people.
It seems like it's heavily reliant on anecdote. In a revised oral tradition brought to you by those that want to be their own judge.
Yeah, who wants somebody else telling them what to do in our culture today? We believe that that's mm-hmm. illegitimate, even if it's the God of all creation. You know, on the one
right.
hand, and this is where that inherent contradiction just drives me nuts. It's like, oh, yeah, I believe there was a God who created the universe. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. He's good. He's just. But I don't think he really cares about me. I don't think he's really watching carefully. I don't think he's involved in what's going on in the world. Like, wait a minute. Think about the character of the divine, sovereign God that you just described and how you now have placed him in a box because it doesn't make you feel good enough about yourself as you're trying to earn your way into his presence. What? None of that makes sense. But that's
exactly.
where people are living. Yeah.
Yeah, and you ignore God's prescription for a fallen world in the form of his son, in his blood and the power of the cross. You ignore that to your own detriment and demise, not to mention frustration, because until the day you die, if you cannot square up your relationship and the sovereignty of Jesus Christ, I mean, we're basket cases of our own devices anyway, just going through life. And you're going to continue on and ignore what God has given us in terms of a solution. And that is the critical measure. That is either going to include you with him in eternity in heaven, or you're going to be judged to damnation for the rest of your eternal existence. I mean, that is the crossroads right there. And it's no wonder, George, if you sent your son to do this for people that you knew weren't even, I mean, the only thing that made you worthy is because you created them. And they ignored your son bad enough, and worse yet, they crucified him, and you still didn't accept the solution. I think you might be a little angry.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, what we're talking about here is a group of people who are trying to make good decisions based on emotion. I mean, can't we be objective enough to stand back and look at how well that's worked for us?
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with emotion, but that can't be the only index on which we make our decisions. It shouldn't even be the leading one. And so if we can for a moment just look at the situation logically and realize, you know what, frankly, we're really struggling here on Earth. We're making a mess of things. You know, obviously we're not terribly satisfied with the way things are in the world. And then we're saying, but it's all going to work out in the next world because I feel like it will.
Mm.
Really? That's the best you got?
Yeah.
How about if we go back and look at the creator of all of this and take a gander at what he has suggested would be the best, the most appropriate, the most effective way for us to lead a meaningful life. And that's with him in charge and us working with him because he's given us that honor. And let's take advantage of that privilege and work according to his principles. Look at what he's accomplished versus what we've accomplished. Who are you going to trust?
Exactly. So that it would go well for you. George, how can people be in touch?
If they go to culturalresearchcenter.com, we've got all of our information up there. They can download it, send it. They can get us to alert them to new reports that come out about every 2 weeks. And it's all free.
You got it. Thanks, George. Take care. God bless.
Thank you, Bill.
Mortgage rates are at historic lows. So if you have a mortgage, refinance it and forget it. You'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Network Capital is offering a low 15-year fixed rate at 2% with a 2.27% APR. Incredible! Network Capital has built a reputation for saving people time and money with our unique process that's fast, simple, and secure. Our 15-year fixed rate is 2% with a 2.27% APR. Incredible! These are historically low rates you may never see again. So, refinance it and forget it. That's a 15-year fixed at 2% with a 2.27% APR. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding right now. Call 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. Call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1448.
NMLS ID 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lenders Law. Number 603-787. An equal opportunity lender. Loan amount 500,000 and greater. 1.45 discount points apply. Rates subject to change and credit approval. Call 800-500-1448 for additional cost information.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
At least seven people were killed, including a suspected gunman, during a birthday party over the weekend in Colorado Springs, Colorado, early Sunday morning. Officials said the suspect, who wasn't named, is believed to be the boyfriend of one of the victims. Weber County, Utah, GOP voted to censure Senator Mitt Romney, the Republican from Utah, Saturday during its convention. The senator's vote to impeach former President Trump earlier this year was the reason given by the voting body, saying the impeachment had denied the president due process, allowed falsified evidence, and did not provide adequate time for an investigation. The Dutch government announced Sunday it has granted oil producers Royal Dutch Shell and ExxonMobil around $2.4 billion in subsidies for what it says to become one of the largest carbon capture and storage projects in the world. The subsidies are meant to compensate the companies for the extra cost of capturing the greenhouse gases instead of emitting them. USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Welcome back, Bill Martinez here, 28 minutes before the top of the hour, and we've got quite the story for you right now, and of course it can only come from California, a one-party state, but that's what's happening with my home state. Of course, as you know, I'm on the East Coast, been here in Florida for the last 11 years, but we saw the writing on the wall as, you know, the two-party state became more and more a single-party state, and you wonder why it is suspended reality and is lost right in its place right now. And I'm certain that that is contributing to it all. And, of course, they want to do everything that they can to codify what they've been getting away from and away with, I should say, for a number of years. It started with Jerry Brown, first of all, allowing anybody in the state to receive a driver's license. It didn't matter if you were legal or illegal, however way you want to declare it. Everybody gets a driver's license. Well, that puts you on airplanes, that gets you everything, gets you access, oh yeah, right, to that ballot thing. So everybody gets one, and then what would happen, because I know this in these, particularly in the Hispanic communities, they all got it, and guess who knew got ballots? Well, of course, Democratic operatives knew who got ballots, because they had the information from the DMV, and they go knocking on the door and saying, hey, we're here to, you know, pick up your ballot. Well, I'm not a legal citizen. I'm not allowed. Don't worry. We'll take care of that for you. And so they start collecting these ballots and further secure this one-party command of this incredible state of California. It's unbelievable. And, of course, ballot harvesting went on steroids.
And that's not enough for them. They want to keep it going. They want to codify it to make sure all the stuff and maybe the precarious stuff, some of the illegal, you know, sleight of hand stuff that they were able to get away with in 2020, they want to make sure that that continues forever and ever. Amen. And with us right now to tell us more about his story is Jordan Tai, a native of Southern California himself. He is a former California GOP regional field director and U.S. Coast Guard veteran. Jordan, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Hey, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us your story. You know, what's going on? I mean, thank God for you, you know, standing up. And this has been my encouragement for people. And, you know, admittedly, as I said, you know, I left the state 11 years ago. But I'm trying to encourage people within the state. I've got three sons there. And I'm saying, look, you need to stay, you know, be that force for good. And if everybody leaves, then, you know, the Democrats aren't going to have any opposition whatsoever. And the insanity continues.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're right on the money there. And to kind of tell my story, my background with everything that happened with Velvet Thought Harvesting, we'd have to go back to the year 2016 when I was actually just entering the Coast Guard and wasn't really politically active at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, as you probably know, as you mentioned, Democrats legalized ballot harvesting. They passed Assembly Bill 1921, which Jerry Brown signed happily. Republicans fought it in the legislature, and of course, like most things, they lost. Later on, the Republican Party fought ballot harvesting in courts, and of course, the liberal judges in California sided against them, and they lost. And in 2018, you know, as conservatives, as Republicans, we were opposed to the legalization of ballot harvesting. The GOP didn't have any widespread effort of ballot harvesting, even though it was completely legal. Right. The result was seven of the 14 House seats that Republicans held in California were gone.
Yes.
Because Democrats had widespread ballot harvesting operations.
Exactly.
The GOP just didn't.
See, Jordan, just interrupt you for just a second. See,
yeah, no worries.
You know, for me, I'm a strategist. I'm a big picture kind of guy. And as you break this down, I mean, this was no big surprise, although the Republican Party wanted you to believe, oh, it was in the dead of night, they didn't know anything about it. This has actually been in operation for quite a, you know, number of years. But they kind of surrendered California for a long time to say, hey, you know, why should we, you know, take our policies? Why should we? Because California is a fait accompli. So we're not going to waste our money there. Well, you can waste our money, but you've got, 32 million people that were abandoned to the Democratic Party, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the year 2020, you know, they realized that they had to, you know, you had to join them. Not ballot harvesting would essentially be political malpractice.
Exactly.
So even though I'm personally opposed to it, the GOP is opposed to it, you're opposed to it, if it's the law of the land, you have to engage in it.
If that's the rules of the game, right? I mean, look at if all of a sudden the officials say, well, you get five downs and you say, no, it's always been four and we're only going to play with four. Well, guess what? The odds are against you. And so quit complaining when you lose.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But the real kicker with all this is once we started ballot harvesting, of course, the Democrats cried foul. They claimed that we were committing voter fraud. You know, the media ran stories that we were collecting people's ballots at GOP offices. And it's like, well, yeah, you legalized this. This is the law. You created
this. Exactly.
A lot of people don't know that, and they know that fact. They know that a lot of people who aren't political, I mean, you and I are political, so we know this, but a lot of people don't understand what ballot harvesting is. I would think the majority of Americans would be opposed to it because it's ripe for fraud. I mean, it's a good point. Like people can easily, you know, throw away ballots. Bad things can happen, and we certainly never did any of that. But there's a lot less security when you legalize ballot harvesting. And they knew that people had these fears. So, of course, then they were like, look what they're doing. They're cheating. How can we allow them to do that? And the media played right into it, played into their hand. And I sort of became the poster boy of it. So what had happened was, you know, with my job with the CAGOP, part of my responsibility was promoting our different get out the vote efforts through social media. So I had a picture in front of one of the ballot receptacles that we had. So we had these like receptacle boxes at GOP offices that somebody was always in front of staffing that we collected ballots through. So then the Democrats took that picture and they took me and they said, look at what this vote fraudster is doing. You know, look what's happening here. They're setting up illegal unofficial ballot boxes out on street corners, all these places, which was just a total lie.
Right. Exactly. All of a sudden you're the white version of Stacey Abrams in California.
Yeah, but they don't praise me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you're the bad white version. I mean, you know, we know it's all about skin color when it comes to the Democratic Party. You know, like Tim Scott called them out, says it's ridiculous to use discrimination to fight discrimination. You know, so
yeah.
it's upside down. It's so laughable. But the problem, you know, the thing is about it, Jordan, is it's so laughable and absurd that, people don't, they don't get the humor in it. They don't get the absurdity in it, and they just get offended. And they want to cancel you all the more. And it's like, wait a minute, come on. This is just, it's not intellectual whatsoever. And that you would, you know, purport this upon the voter electorate. You know, come on, we're smarter than this, and we demand better.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, for me, that part of it, too, was, I mean, I was a low-level field operative for the GOP. This was the idea and the process of much higher-level operatives, people at much higher level. Mm-hmm. But they sort of grabbed onto my picture and used me as the image because they knew once the GOP was behind it, I mean, I think more people would understand this was a legal process when a big official organization is behind it like that. But right. They wanted to paint that picture of this rogue, like, vote fraudster doing this. It's just the absurdity, you know, is beyond belief because, again, this is a law that they passed. And mm-hmm. and again, our way of doing it where we had these ballot receptacles in GOP offices that we were staffing, you know, it was safely locked inside. I think it was a better way of doing it than how a lot of them do it. I mean, these mm-hmm. Democrats and union members would go door to door with Santa Claus sacks, stuff them full of ballots, throw it over their shoulder. They'd have wicker baskets, Tupperware boxes full of ballots dropping off the register of voters, 100, 200 ballots, you name it. Mm-hmm. And it was all legal because this is the law they created. There's right. very, very little restrictions on it.
And how many of those ballots did they get were blank? Do we know?
I couldn't tell you.
No, but I've heard the stories where they would get blank and they would, you know, and they tell the people, they just say, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it for you. And so they get all these blank envelopes that are blank ballots, and they get to have their way with that ballot and do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, I'm sure that's happened. I mean, I don't know any specific stories or instances, but that would not surprise me at all. I mean, I know that some of these operatives were going to, like, college campuses, for example, mm-hmm. where, you know, typically younger people aren't as likely to go vote on election day or turn in their ballot. They were essentially, like, going to these dorm rooms, knocking on, you know, down the dorm hall, like, hey, give me your ballot, step into my sack here. And they were essentially dragging them across the finish line. And it was, again, it was all completely legal because the Democrats passed this law, as bad as this law is. But, of course, it wasn't just the media going after us, me in particular. It was Javier Becerra who helped legitimize it. He went out and said
exactly.
Alex Padilla went and said this was illegal. And I have no doubt in my mind that they knew it wasn't illegal. But by then coming forward, it allowed the media to be like, look, these official state people are saying this is legal. Like, this is illegal. Even though it wasn't, because 2 weeks after the election, Javier Becerra quietly admitted that it wasn't illegal and that there was no wrongdoing. So it was clear that him and Alex Padilla use and abuse their powers for political gain.
Well, we've got to go to break. We got more from Jordan Tai, and give him a little more time to tell his story. This is what's happening in California. It could be coming to a state near you. Stay with us. We've got more.
I have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book, because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-399-3706. 800-399-3706. 800-399-3706. Again, that's 800-399-3706.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
With you 14 minutes before the top of the hour, a little bit different sound here. We took a little electronic hit on our grid here, so we're going to do part of this by cell, and then as soon as everything reconnects and it looks like it's reorientating itself, so the studio, Mighty Brad with his incredible scientific and electronic ability will be able to reconnect us here in a moment, and it looks like that could be coming up shortly, so stay tuned. Anyway, we'll let you know when you hear the voice change. We're talking with Jordan Tai, and Jordan's background is quite interesting. Former California GOP regional field director, U.S. Coast Guard veteran, and in exercising his civic duty on behalf of Californians, you know, he realized, okay, the game is all about ballot harvesting, so why not? Let's figure it out. Let's use some common sense and use the strategy that the Democrats have been getting away with and turning over otherwise conservative seats onto their side of the ledger. And he did something about it. And Jordan, I want you to pick up your story from where we left off so the audience understands, you know, what happened here, okay?
Absolutely. And just to correct you right there, sort of the strategy behind ballot harvesting wasn't really my idea. This was the idea of higher-level people who had been in the game longer, who had saw what happened in 2018, who had been involved in 2018. My job as a lower-level operative was to just kind of help roll it out, help make that process go along. And as I said before, it also promoted on social media, which has kind of helped start this firestorm. You know, like I was saying, Alex Padilla, Javier Becerra, they use and abuse their powers. They help legitimize all this. And, of course, the media played right into it. And since then, there was a lot of defamatory remarks in the media by political figures and by these left-wing organizations about me. Some of them were extremely defamatory. Some of them were straight-up lies, you know, claiming I committed election fraud, claiming I was going to tamper with ballots, steal votes, et cetera, et cetera. And all of this was very damaging to my reputation. You know, once the campaign ended and everything, I went, you know, I pulled myself out of the bootstraps, went back to work. Even though I was dealing with quite a bit of harassment, you know, people were you know, saying, oh, he's a felon, and they were, I was getting private messages.
Oh my gosh.
You know, yeah, I was getting private messages, you know, people saying that they were going to come get me, saying they were going to kill me. You know, people were encouraging me to commit suicide, which, you know, as a veteran, and thankfully I hadn't dealt with any very traumatizing experiences in my time in the service. But to tell somebody who served this country and encouraged them to commit suicide with as many veteran suicides as there are, it's pretty disgusting in my view.
Exactly.
Beyond that, you know, they were bragging about, or they were gleefully talking about how I would be, you know, raped in prison once I got sent to prison. And it wasn't just to me. They were, like, sending these messages. They found out who my mother was. They were sending these messages to my mother. And these were, like, you know, Democrat supporters in the state of California. Harley Ruto, the guy who we were running against the congressional race I worked on, his supporters were all talking about this stuff without any condemnation from him of the Democratic Party, of course. So I dealt with a lot. It was very damaging for my reputation. And sadly, once the campaign and everything ended, there was really no one there to help me pick up the pieces. You know, the GOP didn't really lift a finger to help me find work or anything, even though all of this was their idea, and kind of the PR failures was really on them with all this. There was no help for me. I applied to lots of different jobs, got turned down by tons of them. I even, you know, applied to the woman whose campaign I worked for, Michelle Steele. I was the only person on the campaign who wasn't offered a position, even though they knew everything that had happened. They knew that I was completely innocent and I didn't do anything wrong in all this. The reputational damage to it was so bad, even they who knew didn't want anything to do with me. So that just goes and tells you that how bad this truly was, that if people even know how it happened in the background want to distance themselves from you, then you're kind of screwed. And I knew I had to fight back. So I went public with my story. And I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to sue a lot of these people who defame me for defamation. I've retained Harvey Dillon, who is a legal warrior in California.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, familiar. Right.
And we're going to go after some of these people, but I definitely need some help with that. You know, it's not a free lawsuit, and I have a GoFundMe at the moment where I'm raising funds to kind of take these people on and hold them accountable.
Mm-hmm. And how can they participate in your GoFundMe page?
So if you go to GoFundMe.com, you look up Pushback on Defamatory Lies, organized by Jordan Tai. My last name is spelled Tango Yankee Golf Hotel. You can find the link there, and any bit of amount will be able to help me out to really take these people on. And it's not just for me. It's a bigger fight than just me. Yes, I want justice for myself, but it's really a way to push back on the media and the left, so that they can, you know, be held accountable, that it shows
exactly.
Them that in the future they won't be able to do this to another innocent person. Because right now this is successful for them. And they said, hey, this works.
Yeah.
We can continue to lie and cheat and defame
right.
Innocent people, and we'll get away with it. But I want to show them that they can.
Yeah, well, this is the thing that's amazing about all this. And it goes back to what we learned the first day we went to school and we were in the sandbox of life. And that is that you learned that if you got pushed around by a bully, you had to stand up and fight back on that bully. If not, they were going to own you for the rest of your career. And, you know, and that's just, it's disgusting that that's the way it happens, but you have to bully a bully, don't you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I don't even look at it as bullying, because I'm not out there telling these people to commit suicide
or
they're going to go to prison or get raped or whatever. I'm just here trying to hold them accountable and, like you said, really just fight back. And it's not easy. Like, this is a very – I mean, I was all over national news. Like, you know, my face was the poster boy for this whole thing, being falsely accused by these different media outlets of being some kind of criminal. So it was obviously very kind of traumatizing, bad experience for me. And there's nothing more than I'd like to just walk away from it and, you know, just say, okay, I'm done. But I really can't just do that. I don't think I'd be able to live with myself. Like, if I just walked away from this, then they're going to do it to another innocent person. And
exactly. No, yeah. And that's what they've been doing. They've gotten, just like you said, the reason they keep doing it is they get away with it. And so here it is, you know, bullies win. And so if we do not fight back and support your cause, which is going to support everybody else, then conservative voices are being squashed. And at what expense? You know, as we were talking earlier, you know, if all we're hearing is the voice of liberals, and dare I say that even based on, you know, some of the polling, Jordan, you know, we had in this last election, these primary candidates went out, and even in their own party, they were trying to sell policies that the best interest they could get is about 30%. Well, then they somehow go to the general election and they win, you know, by millions of votes here. I mean, this doesn't make sense. And it leaves everybody scratching their head and wondering, you know, will America ever have free and fair elections again? Now, some individual states are standing up and doing something about it to make sure that, you know, these things are codified before, you know, the government takes over, as you talked about in H.R. 1 and S. 1. And basically, it's a codification attempt by the Democratic legislators to, you know, to make sure that they are in control of elections until death do us part here. And, you know, and my point to them is that if you guys did it so legitimately in 2020, why do you feel compelled to codify this activity?
Oh, absolutely, and especially with everything that happened in California this time and with my story and everything, they just see it as a political advantage because, you know, the GOP conservatives were typically against ballot harvesting because you want more election security. So then they're for it, and then once it happens, they know a lot of the general population don't fully understand, especially H.R. 1, which has so much stuff in it, but on ballot harvesting in particular, a lot of people who aren't political, and these are, you know, smart people, don't really know about it. You know, and they know that they don't know about it, and they like that they don't know about it because I believe otherwise it wouldn't be popular. They'll pass this law, they'll legalize ballot harvesting across the country, and they'll put the GOP in a corner in the way they did in California. Because once the GOP does it, they basically challenge you and say, well, isn't that hypocritical? You guys fought so hard against it, and now you're doing it. And it's like, well, yeah, you legalize it, and if we don't do it, it's political malpractice. So you put us in a position where we have to. And then once we do...
Right.
They'll play into the people's lack of knowledge on it, and they'll say, look what they're doing. They're collecting ballots. They're committing fraud. And the media will be right there to shield them and support that claim, and they'll continue to destroy other innocent lives and innocent people. And I see that with H.R. 1 being passed, and that's why I'm standing up right now. And as you said, I'm punching back against the bully.
Right, exactly. Well, and this is the way they play the game. The cancel culture works this way. And all we can appreciate, Jordan, is that more and more Americans and the voter politic are, you know, seeing what they're doing and how they're playing this game. And we have to continue to, you know, be faithful to the truth and do whatever it takes. And here you are right now, as you said, you know, you're the appointed poster boy for all this stuff, and you're the one taking the bullets. And whatever we can do, you know, to support you, then I would encourage our audience to go to your GoFundMe page and to participate and support the cause for freedom, because this is what this all comes down to. You know, are we going to continue to be free, or are we going to continue to be controlled like what you've experienced in California with a one-party state? You know, less and less of your freedoms. I mean, I know when I was growing up, and, you know, my sons are, I got three sons that are still there and in California, and what they're having to deal with. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely. It's terrible. And especially, I mean, not only support my GoFundMe, but call your senator, you know, call your make sure that they defeat H.R. 1 so that this doesn't happen everywhere.
Yes, we got H.R. 1 and S. 1, which is the Senate version of it. You've got to stay vigilant on this. Otherwise, hey, look, at we've got federally controlled elections. That is not in the best interest of all America. There's no doubt about it. Remind everybody, Jordan, as we wrap things up, we got about 20 seconds left, where they can go for your GoFundMe page.
So you go to GoFundMe.com. It's called Push Back on Defamatory Lies, organized by Jordan Tai. My last name is TYGH. That's Tango Yankee Golf Hotel.
Jordan, you're awesome, buddy. Thank you so much. I appreciate all your hard work and taking the bullet
for
the team here, all right?
If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best-tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com. That's soupbeansurvival.com. And discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com. That's soupbeansurvival.com. The